Time to talk some footy, and well, we're still waiting to see how it all lands in regards to the collective bargaining agreement. And joining us now is the Chief Executive of the Rugby League Players Association, Clint Newton. Clint, good morning.
Morning, lads.
Now, as it stands, and I guess this is probably the million-dollar question, when do you expect a new CBA to be signed?
Oh, listen, I'm no Nostradamus, so I'm not gonna start predicting. I can tell you when I would have liked it to have been done, but anyway, we are where we are, and so this is about just trying to think, optimistically and move forward. But the reality is, I can't put an end date on it. Players, and clubs, and no doubt everyone wants it resolved, because the more we get on to talking about footy and how to advance our code, the better, rather than doing this. But at the same time, as I've always stated, we just won't sacrifice the deal on behalf of players for just a quick result. So we've just got to continue to work through it.
Clint, these are never fun. I unfortunately was a part of way too many of these. But, mate, what is defining for you guys? What are the areas, as you just mentioned, where you, and I know there's probably 1,000 issues that you want to get through, but what are the defining ones where the players are very stern, very strong, and you, on behalf of the Players Association, are not going to budge on?
Well, I think I've been pretty public about all those, so I'm sort of don't want to go over old ground, particularly given the fact that we're trying to move forward. But the reality is, Michael, as it always is the case with CBAs, it's really about the percentage share of revenue, so yep. The total player payments. And
what is that currently, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, currently, based on NRL's distributable revenue, it's around 44%. But that's different to sort of whole of game revenue. But let's just say there, what we want to do is continue to track in line, with that. And that's really fundamental to the claims. Obviously, the above forecast, so if the game generates revenue beyond its forecast, then players need to be dialed in on that. Yeah. And then obviously agreement rights around their core terms and conditions. And I think one of the other, one of the major pieces in this is also the women's CBA, because this is the first time that we'll have a women's CBA, which is necessary with the last major code to do it. And we've seen the rise of the NRLW competition over the last few years. And I'll make no apologies about my feelings towards the NRLW. I truly believe it'll be the most dominant domestic code in this country within the next 1 to 2 years.
Clint, how much has COVID impacted this? And are we back to where we were before COVID? And are we looking to increase, you talk about percentage of revenue. Are we looking to increase from that 2 years ago? Or are we trying to increase from where we are? Because we haven't even got back to, fair ground in regards to where we were before COVID.
No, so players are still operating well, at cuts, through the 2020, 21 and 22. So they haven't been made whole again from the cuts that they took, that ultimately, again, I'm not going to mince my words here. They played a significant role in saving the game, because it gave everyone the certainty that they needed, that there was money going to be available to pass on to clubs, to save their clubs who were in financial distress, as a lot of clubs were during that period of time. And it gave the NRL a bigger balance sheet to be able to ensure they could make those payments and set the code up and protect it during a pretty uncertain period of time. But what we're wanting is really, Michael, our claims have really been established on fair and strong foundations, which is really about players getting their fair share. We're not looking at moving forward, because there's only so much money to go around, and we understand that the women's are a critical investment that the game needs to make. So really the men are looking to track in line with what they've historically been. And then obviously the women are a necessary inclusion, which of course is going to increase the total percentage share that goes to players. But if we're just looking cycle to cycle, players are not looking for big, you know, for any increases really in that space. They're looking just to track in line. But what we are looking to do is invest in key areas like your medical support fund, retirement account, injury hardship, pass buyer programs, those types of things. So again, we're looking forward. I'll always maintain my level of optimism, you know, to get a deal. And I think, you know, hopefully we'll make some progress in the coming weeks.
Yeah, Clint, one of my frustrations, and I suppose, you know, because I've been involved in this before, and as has Clarkey, is the perception at times that players are greedy, and in particular the high-profile players. And they're the ones that are front and centre of it. But a lot of the time, those players are fighting for the players underneath them, the minimum wage players, to make sure they get a fair go.
Lawyers, I couldn't be prouder of the playing group. I get like pretty emotional about the representing players, and people might say, "Oh, well, that can be a bad thing." I call BS on that, because of the fact that I've lived it, I've seen it, I know the impact that it has on players, and the reality is, mate, these players right now, our player leaders, whether it's the players that just participated in the World Cup, or Origin players. They are constantly thinking about the players at the bottom end of their list or young players that are coming into their list. It is very easy for those players to say, just dump everything in salaries, please, Clint, and put it all in the salary cap, because ultimately what that will result in is a big, big influx of money going to the top end of town of players, and the players at the bottom will get left behind. And there'll be a big pay gap between the top and the bottom. What they do is they say, no, don't do that. They're responsible, they're professional, and they're very, very deliberate with how they want money invested or their share of revenue into things like minimum wage, retirement account, education, well-being, pass player programs that, Loz, we don't have. Like, we're one of the only codes that doesn't have a proper pass player program that allows us to ensure that those players that transition away from our game are properly protected and supported. There is a program there, but it's certainly not at the level that it needs to be. And if we are going to get there and we are going to respect the players that have dug the well, it needs investment. And what the players are choosing to do now is that they're choosing to not put as much into salaries and they're wanting to go down that path.
We're speaking with Clint Newton, the boss of the Rugby League Players Association. Clint, player signings. Now, fans despise the current system, the uprooting of players. You know, we see it happen in leagues around the world and at short notice, so a trade window. Do the players have a duty to the fans to agree to this?
I believe they do. I think that, again, this is their workplace. This is these are their core terms of employment. There's always going to be, I've said this time and time again, there's always going to be disgruntled fans around player movement. But the reality is, for every disgruntled fan, there's a fan that is applauding the player coming to their club because it gives them hope. You know, like, it gives them a reason to celebrate and maintain their memberships, and clubs can recruit sponsors and increase their sponsorship book and the like. So, is it a perfect system? I've always said this. No, it's not perfect, but I can't point to a system that doesn't have significant flaws in it, particularly given the fact that any trade window is basically not a trade window or a transfer window. It's restraint and a restriction on their ability to secure their contract and their futures. So, again, I think there can be some adjustments made, but again, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it's the biggest problem that we've got in the game. I just still think it comes down to how we professionally work through those. You've seen a number of clubs that have where players have left, and their fans couldn't be happier for those players to go and find a contract somewhere else. But I think that's the great part of our game. People are emotional, like, they show emotion. They're passionate about their players. They want the best for their club. But at the same time, certainly in our view, that shouldn't come at the expense of some core employment rights.
Now, talking of passion, we saw the passion in the Rugby League World Cup, in particular with Samoa making it through to the World Cup final. And I think, Clint, that this will be a discussion that we will have certainly in the short term and over the long term now with the rise of the Pacific nations and the eligibility rules around state of origin. Where does the Players Association sit in terms of the eligibility rules? Because I think that you're going to find that everyone's going to have a strong opinion on this.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right, Loz, and I certainly believe that we need to revisit that conversation around eligibility, you know, to ensure it's still serving, it's still fit for purpose. You know, so the game and its landscape, you know, consistently change. And I think that's a good thing. You know, I think what we've seen is the game has adapted and evolved. But again, with those changes, we need to ensure that we're still tracking in line with what we actually, what the intentions are that we set out to. Now, again, what we've seen is the international game has got significant momentum. We need to find space for the international game in our calendar. And this is why all parties, including clubs, IRL, NRL and the RLPA need to come together to work out what is a schedule that we can all stand behind and point to and say, this is what rugby league's going to look like for the next decade, and pull together a package that we can take to our major partners and our broadcasters that doesn't diminish the content of domestic rugby league, but absolutely enhances the international product. But one of the challenges we've got, Loz, as you're acutely aware, and Michael, you're very much aware of this in the cricket world, is that we can't just keep loading more and more on our athletes. And I've got significant concerns about just bolting on more matches and more matches when our code has never been harder. It's never been more physically demanding and even mentally demanding for players than it is right now in the history of the code. And so, therefore, we shouldn't be just thinking that the easy solution is let's just put more matches into the schedule, because the consequence of that is going to be players will play more matches, they become more at risk. You've got their clubs that affect, that are their full-time employer that is having to take on additional risk for Origin and for International Rugby League. And then when we talk about pre-season tournaments, for me, there needs to be space found for International Rugby League. But it cannot just be as a bolt-on to a pre-existing schedule. That's why we need to actually have a proper discussion, work through it, and see how we can grow both the domestic competition and International Rugby League.
Clint, in a position like yours, how do you get this balance right between, you know, we've seen in a number of sports senior players or individual players having feelings in and around endorsement and sponsorship versus the amount of money that comes with that sponsorship. So how do you protect the players but also explain to them, hang on, guys, if a company's going to pay $1, $2, $5, $15, $20 million to sponsor your jersey, your club, whatever it is, you know, there's got to be give and take here. And I'm talking about, is it junk food? Is it gambling? Is it alcohol? Whatever it is, how do you, in your position, speak to the players and get a balance where you want to look after them, but they've also got to realise it's hard to get major sponsors these days.
Yeah, I think, we all know that Australia particularly, or certainly sport in our region, is saturated at the moment. You know, we've got more codes playing in our country and more professional clubs than most in the world. Mm. You're talking about the population that we have. So, again, it's a tough market, but again, certainly in my view, our code is a dominant code. The product is fantastic. The players are incredibly authentic and real. And we've got the best talent, certainly in my view, in our region. So, again, we're not selling marbles here. We're actually selling a fantastic product. And with the NRLW, the way it's going, we've got such a significant opportunity in that space. The players are well aware that you just can't have 100% distribution model to players based on, you know, the revenue that comes in. What we then need to ensure is that that the players' percentage share is fair and reasonable based on their contribution. Because, again, the reality is No one can turn a dollar without, you know, clubs and players. So again, what we've got to do is make sure the balance is right. I believe, you know, anything that we've put forward has taken into consideration that. But again, I think the players have been great in regards to not just wanting to put their hand out all the time, and they understand that there's plenty of people that need investment and plenty of areas in the game that need it. So again, I couldn't be the prouder of the playing group, and it's great to represent them.
Clint, really appreciate your time this morning, and let's hope this is all sorted and done dusted sooner rather than later. The CBA, thanks so much, mate.
No worries. Again, we'll look forward. I'm confident we'll get an agreement done that we can all be proud of and point to and say that, hey, mums and dads of the world, get your daughter or your son to come and play rugby league, because if they play our code, they're going to have the best terms and conditions, and that's, I think, something that we should all be working towards.
Thanks so much, mate.
No worries.